Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
So what does flexibility really mean to you? When you hear that the American College of Sports Medicine and their recommendations on the quality and quantity of fitness has now included both flexibility and neuromuscular training to their recommended fitness routine and regimen that we should all be joining in, what does flexibility truly mean, and how can it affect your daily life? Is it going to make things easier, increase the quality of your life? All of the above. My guest is Angela Dahl Carlson, and she's an ACE certified personal trainer. So, Angela, tell us a little bit about flexibility and how it can affect the things that we're doing in our daily lives.
Well, the thing I think about when I think first about flexibility in a fitness program, people tend to kind of run over it very quickly. They think of it as either an afterthought or a beforethought. I'll give it, a couple of stretches before I run, maybe a couple of stretches when I'm done, but they don't really consider it its own component in their lives. And I think the first barrier is trying to get people who are already fitness-minded to really incorporate and embrace this idea that flexibility training is really its own thing and should be given a lot more time and energy. The bigger problem I see is that people who are not fitness-minded won't go anywhere near it because they have no idea why it would make any difference in their lives. For the most part, though, I think what we see is this sort of cycle of inactivity and injury, both in the fitness-minded people and people who don't go anywhere near fitness. They tend to be inactive, and then the muscles shorten up and tighten up. Then they all of a sudden will get a burst of energy and want to do something active. They find themselves more prone to injury, which means, again, they're going to become sedentary or inactive, and the cycle just kind of continues. They're less likely then to kind of get into a fitness routine because they're afraid of getting hurt again. So I think flexibility can actually be a place for somebody who's not fitness-minded to even just begin that journey, to begin the conversation with their muscles and kind of get into that frame of mind.
Well, it is certainly a different feeling. And having been in the business for 25 years, I have run into some of my patients and some of my clients that have been, oh, no, that's a waste of time during this workout.
Right.
Or that is, no, I don't want to use up my time doing stretches and things because I can do those on my own. So I've heard that for so many years, Angela. Now, the first question that I always get, and I'd like to see your answer, cold muscle, warm up first. When is the optimal time to start a stretch regimen?
Well, here's the problem. I mean, it seems like as soon as we get something nailed down, do it before exercise, do it after exercise, do it during exercise, it always seems to shift. It's like, I tell people in the fitness industry, it's like every 5 years we get a new recommendation. I think flexibility training really needs to be looked at as its own component. I tell clients when they're first starting, they should be doing stretches as often as they can. I like people to try to get into what I call a quotidian approach to flexibility, which means a daily thing like taking your vitamins or having your morning coffee. Get up in the morning. Do your stretching. At night before you go to bed, do some stretching. Where exercise is concerned, I think a lot depends on the sport that you're doing or if you're putting cardio or weight training. I think the general rule of thumb these days is you want to make sure that the muscle is nice and warm. And then after your workout, you probably want to stretch those muscle groups that you worked as well. I'm all about stretching, so I kind of tell people to do it all the time. So
well, and I kind of am too. And the thing is that certainly with athletes, as you mentioned, there are certain ways and times that it will either help their sport and or possibly football players don't want too much range of motion in their hips.
Right.
It can impede. Strength can impede range of motion. Range of motion can impede the ability to build a certain amount of strength. But then you look at golfers who need that ability. You look at Tiger Woods and the way he can just fluidly move his body around. It is really a most incredible thing to see. And therein lies the things like yoga that come in
right.
And are just really, that's what they're about, besides the breathing and the meditation. But so much of it is about moving our body, increasing the range of motion in as many ways as we can.
Well, I think that sometimes that's what scares people about yoga. On a fitness level, I think they're a little bit afraid that they're going to have to go in there and put both feet behind their head. And you know, for the most part, that's not really what that class is about. It's not about turning yourself into a pretzel. It's really, I mean, I think especially if you look at it as a mindful movement, what you're looking to do is find where you carry tension in your body. And then you want to try to make friends with that spot. And those are the places you're going to focus on with your flexibility training. And I think this is true of athletes or normal folks or people who don't go anywhere near a gym. The first step really in flexibility training is identifying where you're holding tension, where those muscles are tight, and then begin to have a conversation with that part of the body and really focus in there.
Well, then give us some workable things that we can, you know, that people can do right now to help them with this daily stretching that you're discussing, and the fact that it can make our lives more comfortable. You can get in and out of bed easier, in and out of a car, right, for sure, especially for the elderly population. So give us some things that you would do from the morning until the night.
I think actually that the first thing I would suggest to people is to kind of take a mental inventory when you get up in the morning. Where do you feel it? Where do you feel that tension? And it's going to feel like stiffness. Hopefully it doesn't feel like pain, but if, you know, if it feels like pain, that's something obviously to address with your doctor. But you know, when you get up in the morning, you can feel it. You have these little places in your body where you say, wow, you know, my back feels like this, my neck feels like this. Take note of that, make note of it, and then start to focus on breathing into that area. You can do really small stretches for your neck, for your lower back, that are nice and safe, very well supported stretches, and just breathe into that place. You know, give it like 3 to 5 minutes at the very least, just paying attention to that tension in your body. And the same thing is true maybe even at your desk, at your office. You sit at a desk, look at how you're sitting, look where you feel, you know, pay attention to where you feel the tension in your body. Start to make note of it, maybe even write it down, and breathe into that place. See if you can find one good stretch that you can even, you know, do at work without anybody thinking you're crazy. And then the third thing would be at night, before you go to bed at night. Really, I think it can be a great way to diffuse a lot of tension that we take into our sleep with us. See if you can breathe through it, relax, and get rid of that tension before you get into bed at night. You can actually start this cycle of healing that happens when you sleep, and maybe you don't feel as tense when you wake up in the morning.
Now, when they do a stretch, Angela, should they feel the muscles stretching or feel the muscles pulling tight, or should it just be a more comfortable? I mean, how hard should we stretch?
Well, if you're identifying the places in your body where you're holding tension, the moment you go into a supported stretch, you will feel it. And what you're going to feel is you're going to feel the muscle resisting you. So I like to kind of visualize that muscle, and I see myself meeting my stretch on the road, so to speak. So if I'm stretching my hamstring and I start to hinge forward at the hip when I'm doing a seated hamstring stretch, when my body stops moving and that muscle is stopping me from moving, the muscle's protecting me. The muscle is saying, no, this is where we're stopping. This is where the tension is. And you have to take a moment, stop there, be patient, and just keep breathing, put some oxygen into your body, until you begin to feel that muscle trust you and begin to release a little bit. And then you move just a little bit further. And I think that the hard thing for us is to take enough time to let the muscle release and to breathe into it, because we're so eager to get on to the next thing in our day. But this is going to keep our day running really smoothly. So, yeah, what you should feel is obviously never, ever pain. You should never feel pain when you're stretching. Pain is your body saying, stop doing that.
Well, and really with anything, the best rule of thumb is you can stretch or move up to the pain, not through the pain. That's the old adage. Doesn't work anymore. And when your joints and muscles feel flexible, you're going to greatly reduce the injury and increase the quality and quantity of your life in so many ways. It will make things easier for you. You're listening to Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine. This is Melanie Cole on Radio MD. Stay well.